The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
So we don't know if the impeachment hearing, the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas will actually happen or not. We do know that the Democrats will do everything they can. That phrase just keeps coming up, doesn't it? What about gas prices? Oh, we're doing everything we can. What about shutting the border? Well, we're doing everything we can. What about quelling the unrest around the world? Oh, we're doing everything we can with Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel. Doing everything we can. Maybe, but nothing they do works. Oh, they're doing everything they can to keep Alejandro Mayorkas from being tried in the Senate. And that one probably will work because they have control in the Senate. And the last thing they want is for the details of the millions of illegal aliens coming across the border to be aired in public. And you can count on one of Joe Biden's chief bootlicks to join Chuck Schumer in blocking the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas. Gentleman you might have heard of, he's been a career politician, never had a real job, he's running for re-election again, even though he's over 70 years old. It is your Ohio Senator, Sherrod Brown, in an exchange with CNN, saying, oh no, Mayorkas? Impeachment trial? Not necessary.
House Republicans are sending the impeachment of DHS Secretary Mayorkas to the Senate tomorrow. Will you join your fellow Democrats in voting to skip a full Senate trial?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's a distraction.
It's a distraction. Why is it a distraction, Sherrod? Well, it's a distraction because, to coin a phrase from Al Gore, it's an inconvenient truth that you guys have done a horrific job managing the border and that Americans know it. They see it in the crime statistics. They see it in the jobs report, even though you do your very, very best to hide it in the jobs report. But most of the jobs that you tout, oh, 330,000 jobs, fantastic jobs report. 71,000 in government, 70,000 in healthcare, and more of the jobs to non-citizens than to citizens. Those are not jobs that Mr. and Mrs. America go out and get and provide via one income the financial resources to pay the bills for their family. No, those are part-time jobs, which people have to have two or three of them to try to make ends meet, never get to spend any time with their family because they're always working, and that is the economy that you have wrought upon the American electorate. But it's okay because it's working out for you, right? It's really working out well for you. One of the people that's really worked out well for is Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Remember the famous question to Jennifer Granholm? What is the Granholm plan to get gas prices down? Oh, I see. The Granholm plan, that's a good one. The Granholm plan, I don't have a plan. No, but you know what she does have? She has lots of individual stocks. Now, this caught the attention of Missouri Senator Josh Hawley the other day when Jennifer Granholm was in front of a Senate subcommittee because she's trying to get a big fat budget for her energy department. And Josh Hawley noted, hey, you told us the last time you were here you didn't own any individual stocks. We've checked. You own a lot of them. Explain yourself, Jennifer Granholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Secretary, nice to see you again. When you were here last, I talked with you about the fact that more than 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options in companies that ethics officers said was directly related to the agency's work. This is institutionalized corruption. And I asked you point blank, do you own any individual stock? And you told me, no. Let's just look at it. It was not a difficult question. Do you own individual stocks, Madam Secretary? You said no. In fact, you repeated it three times to me. No, no, no. Turns out that was false. You did own multiple individual stocks, and you neglected to report it to this committee for months afterwards. Why did you mislead this committee?
Oh, my goodness.
That was exactly my response. So why did
Senator,
you mislead this committee?
I believed that I had sold all individual stocks, and I was incorrect. So I came back.
So you just don't know your portfolio?
Pretty much.
It's a big one, I guess, huh?
No, it's extremely small.
Apparently not. Someone manages it for you?
So I came back as soon as I found out that, in fact, I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. I just remind you, you're under oath. Madam Secretary, you testified you didn't own any individual stocks. You didn't sell the stocks for a whole nother month. And after you sold the stocks, you waited another month before you informed this committee. Why did you mislead us, and what were you hiding? Why did you wait so long? Why did you hide this?
I did not hide it because I brought it forth to the committee when I realized that we had made a mistake.
Really? What explains the delay? Why did you wait for a full month to explain your actions to this committee, your false testimony?
Good question. She didn't answer it. She didn't have an answer. I believed I didn't own any. Well, I mean, you know, the old George Costanza line. It's not a lie if you believe it. Jennifer Granholm believed it. Wouldn't you, if you were under oath before a Senate subcommittee on something as important as your investment assets, be sure before you would make a blanket statement that you don't own any individual stocks when you are being questioned about people in the Department of Energy owning stocks and that being a corrupt activity? You're the leader of the entire department. You are a cabinet level position. You are giving incorrect information to Congress, but they don't care. They don't care. Why would they care? Why would they care when the guy at the very top of the food chain, the president himself, refuses an invitation to testify before House oversight on all the bank records, all the millions, all the things that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, all the documented evidence of them taking millions and millions of dollars from foreign adversaries like China and Russia. When Biden says, no, I'm not coming. His legal counsel sent a letter to House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer saying, no, we decline the opportunity to come and testify. This is outrageous in that no one in the media is writing about this. No one in broadcasting is talking about this. Do you think the same position would be accorded if Donald Trump were in his second term? Of course not. Absolutely not possible. Now, while Biden is allowed to become a multimillionaire off influence peddling of his name, and his son is allowed to collect bags of cash from around the world using his father's name and influence and presence, either via the phone or in person, at meetings with these oligarchs who are lining the pockets of Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and Joe Biden and like nine members of the Biden family, including grandchildren. Why are grandchildren from the Bidens getting checks for tens of thousands of dollars from foreign governments? It is outrageous to me that these questions are not asked by anyone in media and that the president is not made to answer for these questions. But if you are someone who is tied to or linked with Donald Trump, well, then your bank accounts can be canceled with no explanation. John Eastman, one of Trump's former attorneys, noticed that all of his bank accounts through Bank of America had been canceled. He called Bank of America. Here's the recording that he got.
For questions, if you have recently received a letter stating your account or accounts are being closed, the reason for this is that Bank of America made a business decision to close the account, and/or we have determined you're operating in a business type we have chosen not to service at Bank of America. It is a Bank of America policy that we do not provide any additional information regarding our decision to close an account, and the decision to close the account will not be reconsidered.
They can close your account for whatever reason they want with no explanation to you at all. If your political affiliation is wrong, if you happen to believe something that they don't believe. This is the next wave of how they come after people. There are only so many physical altercations like January the 6th, where they can magnify charges against people as benign as a grandma who goes into the Capitol and prays. A lot of people on January 6th did wrong things, want to arrest them for assault, whatever, fine. But this is the next wave. Bank attacks. We will talk with Gary Click, member of the Ohio General Assembly, the one of the two leaders on the SAFE Act, which has been blocked by Franklin County Common Pleas Judge Michael Holbrook. Hopefully you will call Michael Holbrook's office and register your opinion on his ruling. Judge Holbrook has survived three election attempts, the last one by the thinnest of margins. He won on a recount. Typically, I would rejoice when a Republican judge gets reelected, but Michael Holbrook is a failure as a jurist, as someone who is charged with applying the law fairly. When you refer to a defendant in a court case as the killer, you have lost your judicial center. I don't care if you did it to introduce humor. That's at the very best characterization, gallows humor. You know how I know Michael Holbrook is a bad judge? Because the Dispatch wrote a glowing profile of him. And for the Dispatch to write a glowing profile of him tells you that he's in their pocket and he's doing their bidding. And he definitely did their bidding on delaying the implementation of House Bill 68, which would keep kids from genetic or from gender mutilation surgeries and from taking puberty blockers that would dramatically and forever alter the body's chemical composition. Now, we see evidence of this lack of journalistic integrity and lack of and choosing sides in media all the time. Here's an update on Uri Berliner, the NPR editor for 25 years, who wrote a scathing exposure of NPR and how biased it is in its reporting in the Free Press, an independent news site, last week. He was then suspended 5 days for his trouble for being an actual journalist, and now he has resigned his position. That is the news of the day. Uri Berliner has said in a post on X that his career at NPR is over. I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do more important journalism. But I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by the new CEO, whose diverse views confirm the very problems at NPR that I cited in my Free Press essay. He's right. Catherine Mayer is the new head of NPR. If NPR is defunded, I will celebrate. I will dance on the professional graves of everyone who works there, just like I long for the day when the Columbus Dispatch goes under as an enterprise. I have friends who work there who are not agenda-driven, who work in sports. I will feel bad for them. But for the good of our community, for the good of journalism, bad journalism needs to rot and burn. And the Columbus Dispatch is bad journalism most of the time. Reporters like Haley B. Miller, Anna Staver, Amelia Robinson, Colin Gay, disasters, disasters, enemies of truth. That is definitely what Catherine Mayer is at NPR. This is a talk she gave when she was the head of Wikipedia. It is a talk about truth. Listen to how Catherine Mayer says truth comes to light and how truth is determined in our culture. This is now someone who is funded to the tune of $500 million through essential taxpayer contributions at NPR. We're paying for this woke nonsense.
But the hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion. Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start.
Wrong.
In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Wrong.
Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths.
Nope.
And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world.
Nope.
So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
She could not be more wrong, and that could not be a more pernicious view of truth. Our reverence for the truth gets in the way of getting things done. No, 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 and no. Truth is the merging of facts and belief. No, wrong. 1,000% wrong. These people who have positions of authority, who order other people around under them to shape opinion, must be committed to where the truth is and whatever path leads to it. And your feelings about it, your upbringing, your lived experience, whatever you want to say, has nothing to do with truth. Truth is not a piece of clay. You don't get to mold it the way you want it. You don't get to shape it how you want it to come out for your benefit and the detriment of others. No, truth is impervious to feelings. Truth is impervious to your adjectives. I've said many times, the word justice, if you stick an adjective with it, social justice, climate justice, then it's not justice. Truth is where facts and common sense and logic meet, not where your feelings are. Her view is warned against in the Bible. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.